And you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 20. John chapter 20. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we have opened thy word, so help us. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of late, and as we're going through the Gospel of John and the resurrection, and the key point is the only sign that God is going to give to the world in their unbelief. The Jews crucified him, the Gentiles crucified him. The world is in rejection, Jew and Gentile. And God is going to show in the light of that his grace. And his grace is going to go and show them they wanted a sign, they wanted something else. God is going to give them one sign only. That is the sign of the prophet Jonah, 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. So shall the Lord be in his death and resurrection. That's the only sign, an empty tomb, which we've been looking at. Everything from start to finish. His birth, his death, his rising again. All of it is according to Scripture. So that God has given us his word, and God's word, the Bible, the Scriptures. The Scriptures from day one all the way through history confirm, make very clear there never should be a mistake in understanding that God is God. He's the only God and the only Savior, and there should be no messing around with it. According to the Scriptures, one Bible, page after page in history, sacred and secular history, to tell about a great God and Savior. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and just to pick it up, remember now in chapter 20 and verse 1, in chapter 20, verse 1, and these in the first day, this is the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Now, keep in mind, if you would, Mary Magdalene, she is what? She is a dear woman, and she's a special woman. She's been right behind looking at, seeking to know and honor God in Christ because, hold your finger here, to Mark chapter 16. And what do we know about Mary? Mary Magdalene. What do we know? Verse 9, 16 and 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons or demon-possessed. So she is a dear woman, caught up in demonism, and in the process, God rescued her. Now, that's the woman. Now, having said that, she's the first one to go. The dusk, coming dawn, first day of the week. And she comes to the tomb. And she sees the tomb. And she sees the stone rolled away. There were no angels. No one's there. The stone is moved. She doesn't go in. She just sees the stone's moved. And in her understanding. She needs help. What happened? Where is he? And so she ran back, didn't go any further, ran all the way back to Peter and John. Now, at where they were. Now, she's back there, and Peter and John get out of their seat, as it were, and come running down the corridor to sit to the tomb. That's what they're going to do. And we did that last time. And remember now, Peter and John, verse 2, then she runneth unto, cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord, etc., as we read. Now, and Peter and John come. Remember, Peter is Peter's a little slower than John. And John gets there. And he stoops down to look in. And we looked at the different verbs, to see, to saw, to see, to investigate, to see with the eyes, to inquire, to search out, as it were. And he stooped down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Verse 6. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and Peter ran, coming in, and ran into the sepulchre, seeing the linen clothes lie. Now remember, God is going to say to the others, to them, what is the message? What does the angel say? Standing on the stone, sitting on the stone. Come see the place where he laid. Not just come in and see it's empty. Come see the place where he is laid. In particular, the place. And we shared all that last time. So here's the body all wrapped up. Body all wrapped up. The trouble is, wrapped is perfectly wrapped, laying there right where it was. But there's no body. Just the wrappings. As they were, the wrappings. And add the napkin, as we read in verse 9 and 10, 7 and 8. The napkin, that was the band that went around to hold the jaw, handkerchief, sweatband, handkerchief. They used it to tie, among other things, the jaw. So when the body was laid there, the jaw didn't drop down. They put the band around. So here's the body with no wrappings. And right next to it, the front, is the head, separate. Here is this oval sweatband with no head. Now, the whole thing is rather impressive because it isn't just an empty tomb. It's an empty body. An empty body. A phenomenal thing. In fact, it's unanswerable. How do you answer it? Where's the body? In particular, in the light of what we're looking at. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and so they did that. And Peter and John did that. They saw that. There's no guards. There's no stone. A stone is there. There's no guards. And there's no angels. They see it. They look at it. And that. What do we say? And thus they went back to where they were to think it, to overwhelmed with what they see, an empty tomb, empty wrappings, etc. And so they go back to where they were. In the meantime, Martha's coming back. Mary's coming back, I should say. Martha will come around. And Mary's coming back. So she's coming back. Still dawn, dark. So now, John chapter 20, and we come yet to verse 10. Verse 10, 20 and 10. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home back in Jerusalem, back wherever they were staying. Verse 11. But Mary stood without the sepulchre, weeping and wept, and she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. So, here's Mary comes all the way back. She stoops down and looks into the sepulchre. Now, God in his wonderful grace, in all of his resurrection appearances for 40 days and nights, All that he did was to help us understand in most wonderful little ways, God is really, really God, and he really is risen. And the human heart has trouble understanding that could it really be that he arose again, the dead body rose again. He died for our sins. The wages of sin is death. The reason Christ had to die, my sin, your sin, Christ took it to the cross. What did he have to do to take care of my sin and your sin? He had to die dead. The wages of sin is death. And that is official, and we did all of that, so there's not even a question. Historically, any way you want to look at it. So the thing that sticks out, we have an empty tomb. An empty tomb. The only sign he's going to give. God, if you just do something in these days as we go downhill. No, I'm only going to give him one sign. So now, here's Mary coming back. And so Mary's standing there looking in. And now, what are we going to see? Now, each situation is a little different. And so she looks in. Now, Peter and John, there's no angels, none there. And at this time, Mary comes along, and Mary comes in there. And so she looks in, and there's the body. Here's everything that Peter and James saw, the wrappings and the head around the head. It's impossible. Ah, she didn't see that. She didn't see that. She saw it, but it didn't click. What's the difference? What is it about each of these people, Peter and John? Peter is the one that denied the Lord three times, etc. I know not the man, and he wept. And Peter ran right in to see, is it possible? You see. And John, so each of them are there. Here's Mary. Now here's Mary, and she looks in, and what does she say? In verse 13. And verse 12, I should say. And seeing two angels in white sitting, the one on the head, at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. So here's the wrappings again. Peter and John saw the wrappings and the headpiece over here. Here they are. And then they run away. And here comes Mary. Mary looks in, and boy, this time, God, you're going to do it. You're so good at what you do, God. He puts an angel on each end. Here's an angel. And I'll tell you, angel, I'd be impressed if I saw an angel like that. Here's the angel sitting on one end up where the napkin was, headpiece. And here's the angel sitting on the other end over there. They don't say anything. They don't say anything. The other angel said, come and see. Not these angels, nope. They just sit there, and Mary is able to go and look in. And so Mary looks in, and there's no, Mary, are you seeing? Mary's different. What is it about Mary that she's just not catching it? Hang on. Now, so in the process, and they say unto her, woman, nothing about his empty tomb, he's risen. They say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? So they didn't say he's risen. They never said anything. Now, why is she crying? She's weeping, sobbing, grief, lament, to lament, to mourn, over loud crying. She's looking. She came. It's the whole thing. He's crucified. He died. Her whole world, she was saved from the demons. She was committed to him. And she was there. And tragedy upon tragedy, what happened? He's dead. And to add to the death, it's enough. adjusting to his death. Now I've got to adjust to an empty tomb. No body. Not only his death, but there's no body. No body for me to bury. No body for me to come and put flowers. No come. No way. No way to have my memory. Memories. No, no memories. Nothing. You know how frustrating that would be? She's committed. She's committed to find that body. No matter, she's going to find that body. Now, so here's the angels. Why weepest thou? And she said, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. So having done that, and so therefore, in verse 14, if I can, in there. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. Now, you got to try to catch the flavor of it, if I can give it to you. Here comes Mary all the way to the tomb. She stoops down and looks in, and there's the two angels looking at her and asking her, why are you weeping? Nothing else is said. Just, why are you weeping? Why are you crying? She sees. And now, I should have caught her attention. But she's so committed. She turns. She's looking in like this. And she turns around. I'm going to be her. You guys aren't, whatever, you angels there. But she didn't see that either. You're not saying anything. You just say, why am I crying? You're no help at all. So what do? I'm going to turn around and find him myself. That's what I'm going to do. You understand? I'm going to turn around. I want to find him myself. You aren't helping me at all. Okay. So she turns around. Now, and then she turns around to go back out to find him. Verse 14. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw. She turned back now and turned back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. So she turned around and and there is someone standing in the dark, in the dusk, not very light, and it must be the gardener. Now, she has to have a good concern for gardeners, that they go to work early. That's what I have to tell you. They go to work early, man. They're dedicated gardeners. And so she says, you must be the gardener. Okay. And in the process, and Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Same verb, same everything, grief, sadness, I'm crying. Oh, and he says, she's still weeping, crying, panicking, and turned around. She's looking for, trying to find the body. So therefore, having said that, she said, woman, and in the process, she supposed him to be the gardener, and saith unto him, sir, if it's first class, I assume, you, when you say first class, you could really put the word since. Since you are the gardener, since. If thou hast borne him, if I assume you have taken the body. now that's a pretty big thing. Why? Because here's all these 60 soldiers, Roman soldiers, guarding the tomb. Where are they? Where's the 60 soldiers? The stone, here's the angels, a body, and the Peter and John. Where are they gone? They're all gone. They aren't here to help me. So, verse 15, and Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if and assuming it's true, you have borne him away, borne him hence, tell me where thou has laid him, and I will take him away. Just tell me where you put him. She assumes it had to be him. No one else is there. So with soldiers, that isn't clicking. Nothing's clicking. She's caught up in what she's looking for, a dead body. She's looking for a dead body in order to take care of the dead body and to have a little service, to have a place to come and remember him. Now, so have she turned, and I will take him. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is master, teacher, Lord, which is to say master. So she turned. Remember, she turned away, to leaving the tomb. And then she turned. She's the gardener. She looked. And then Rabboni, then when he spoke, verse 16, she turned straight to him. Now, and she said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master, Lord. So, all of a sudden, here she is looking for a dead body, to bury a dead body, to honor a dead body. And all of a sudden, all of that's in her head and heart, and all of a sudden, she awakens, and the Lord helps her, and in the process, Rabboni, Master, Lord. Now, having said that, you have to understand what, that atmosphere. She now goes, and tell me verse 17, and she saith unto him. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, etc. Now, stop here for a sec. Jesus saith unto her, now what does she do? Rabboni, you have to imagine what's happening. She says, Master, Lord. And she dives at him, as it were, and grabs him. That's the word touch, to attach oneself to. She went and attached herself. I'm not going to lose him. I've been looking for the body. I got the body. I got it. That's what she's doing. You have to understand that. That's what she's doing. And the Lord said, stop clinging to me. Stop clinging to me. Very gracious. God, each setting is different to help us understand. Here's a person, has the dreams or aspirations of whatever they were in her head that had been totally destroyed. And all she wanted was a dead body. That's what she wanted. She had no understanding that he would rise again. By the way, neither did John and Peter. They didn't believe he could rise again. They knew it. But they didn't believe it. And so, look over in chapter 20, verse 9. And you'll see it. 20 and verse 9, Peter and John. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They just didn't know. She didn't know. They've been living all these with him and in the upper room, of course, all of that. But it was over. They had no sense of any after. They, having all of that for 3 1/3 years, it wasn't clicking. It's too impossible. That's the point. The only sign I'm going to give him is an empty tomb. Why? Because you won't believe. And I'm proving without exception, unexcusable proof to get out of it. That's the only I'm going to give you. And it's going to be, you will not believe. Think what we did in Hebrews this morning, in study in Hebrews, and chapter 11 and verse 3. God said, without faith, you can't understand God in His magnificence. God is invisible. He went and created, Hebrews 11:3. He went and created the heavens and the earth and everything. He created it all out of nothing. That's what you need to know. There's no way to understand God apart from faith, to give God credit for who He is. He's God. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And you'll never know anything about God except you come by faith and let God be who He is in a most magnificent way. Now, hang on to that, if you can. If you would. Now, here we are looking, and in chapter 20, verse 17. And Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, dost stop clinging to me, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. That's what I want you to do. I want you to go. Now don't touch me. I'm going to go. I have to ascend before God. That's what I have to do. And therefore, God, what are we going to do? I came down from heaven, put on a human house, Bethlehem, baby, put on a human house, went to the cross, rose again, and in my perfect resurrected humanity, I went back to the Father. I came from the Father. I'm going back to the Father. That's what I'm doing. I must ascend. Why must you ascend? Hebrews in chapter 10. Even chapter 9 better. Hebrews in chapter 9. And you will note, and picking up, please. Oh, you'll catch it, remember, in our study. And chapter 9. And going to verse 24. I must ascend. You can't hold and have me here. You can't keep me. Do you have another thing that will help you? Do you remember on the sermon? We'll do it. Now, if you hold your finger in too many places, it's not good. So therefore, over to Matthew chapter 17. And in Matthew chapter 17, picking up, please. Chapter 17. And you remember the Mount of Transfiguration. He took Peter, James, and John with him up to the mountain. And in the process, he was transfigured so that they would see his marvelous person in a very special way. In verse 2, he was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, little tents, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. In other words, this is such a special place. Everyone's down below. Here's the three of them. Wow, let's keep this so that we can have it. And you guys just stay right here. So we'll become a visitor. We'll know where you are. Wow. Yeah. What's Mary doing? Stop clinging to me. You can't keep me here as I am. If I don't ascend to my Father, you are in trouble. How so? All right, back to Matthew 17. Back 17, picking up, please. Picking up in verse 5. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid, understandably. Verse 7. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save except Jesus only. God, Moses and Elijah are gone. You don't build tents on the top of a mountain. God isn't interested in living on the top of a mountain with Moses and Elijah. You don't do that. You don't cling to me, Martha. You don't. You're trying to have little settings that are nice and you want to keep them, but you can't. Sliding over to John, the Gospel of John, and in chapter 6. And you'd recall. Chapter 6, verse 14, John 6, 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle, feeding of the 15,000, that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived, they're all excited, they got fed and had everything, didn't cost them a penny. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again unto a mountain himself alone. You want to make me a king? You want all the benefits? That's what we want. Yay! Hang on to him. Martha, Mary, what are you doing? I'm hanging on to him. I don't want to lose him. If you don't, Mary, you are going to be in terrible trouble. If I stayed and let you hold me, you would never have what I meant you to have. I would have it, said the Lord, but you never would. The disciples were with our Lord 3 1/3 years. They could never have what they observed in the life and manner of our Lord Jesus Christ. Something has to happen. Something more has to happen. You need to see who he is, identify who he is, why he's here, in order to what? Get the benefits. Over to Hebrews. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9 and 24. And you will note, for Christ, 9:24. Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, of the reality, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. And then the little two little words, for us, on behalf of us. The word appear, to make plain, the word, look at it, the verb, to make plain, to clear, make it very obvious. God, what are you doing? I'm in the presence of God in perfect humanity, risen from the grave. I'm there. I've ascended. To what? Make it understand before the Father. You are there. You, each one of you, are going to be there in me. I need to bring you there before the Father. All of you, before the Father. That's what you need to be. To enjoy the Father. That's why I'm there. So that you have access. You're free to approach God. Come boldly to the throne of grace, etc. Now, having said that, so God, what are you going to do when you do that access? Well, then, what are you going to do, Martha? I don't know why Martha. Martha was all right, you know. Martha's the one that went, John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. That's why. Martha, do you believe? No. Now here's Mary. So here's Mary. And Mary has to, understandably, she has to understand if she keep cleaning, if you keep this, God, just be with me when I go to somewhere. I don't need to have a unique relationship to you. I just need to know God, be with me when I go, and we'll be fine. God said, that isn't enough. It'll never do. It'll be like me having to be a lifetime like I was with Peter, James, and John. They never enjoyed for 1 minute the life that I had provided. My relationship to God was mine. They did not have that. They didn't have it. I wanted them to have it. Now, so therefore, God, so when we have it, you know, John, the Gospel of John, you know from Gospel, well, it's used John, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's an awesome thing. I want to bring you to God. I must ascend to my Father. If you keep clinging to me, I can't. I want you to be able to get to God in his awesome, wonderful person. I want you to have that. Now, and not only to God, but the relationship, you know, you aren't in John. Back over to John 14 for a minute. And in John chapter 14, picking up, please. And you will note, in John chapter 14, sliding over, if I can, to verse 20. 14:20. At that day, Martha, Mary, you're there, Martha too. You have to wait till Pentecost. Nothing's going to be for you till I go to the Father, and then I come back, and the Spirit of God is going to make possible my wonderful life in your life. The life that you have will then be mine. Now, John chapter 14, not only, verse 20, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. That's a wonderful, awesome relationship. And you have to read it, and then, I am the Father, Father in me, and I in you. Verse 21, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest, make myself clear, obvious, plain, myself to him. Sliding down. Verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt make thyself known unto us and not unto the world? Because, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my sayings. And my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, will come into him and make our abode, our home in him. Mary, I'm looking to find my home in your heart. If you cling to me, it won't happen. You gotta let go. But dead bodies and trying to have a body, even if you could do it, it won't work. No, something has to happen. I died on the cross to make possible a wonderful life for you. The wonderful life is my life. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over if I can, oh, to the Gospel of Luke. Now remember now, God's wonderful, wonderful plan. And it was a horrible thing to have a life. Religious, we get religious up we get religious and everything. That doesn't go anywhere. What's the sense of getting all wrapped up in religion? When you're all done, it's nothing. You don't have anything. Wow. And the world around you has the same thing. They don't have anything either. So where are you going to be? You aren't going to find anything. So if I just go by us humans, I have nothing, because all the humans are going to die. And all the humans are just like me. So we're all the same. So where am I going to find God? In Christ, risen, seated at the right hand of God. And when I receive him, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege to become children of God, even to them that believe in his name, to know him. Now, our Lord, why are you weeping? You don't weep in what God is doing. What are you weeping for? Coming up, picking up Luke chapter 23. And remember Luke chapter 23. Our Lord has been judged, Pontius Pilate, etc. And he's on his way to the cross down the streets, carrying the cross. So chapter 23, verse 26, this is on his way to the cross. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after him, after Jesus. In other words, they're so beat up, the body is so battered and destroyed, as it were, and then to carry the cross that distance, he'd die on the way to the cross. They can't have that. So Simon comes in. Our Lord, verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and women, of which Mary and them would be there, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not, there's your little verb, don't be grieving for me, but weep for yourselves, for your children. Why are you weeping? The Lord said. To the angel said to Mary, what are you weeping for? It's a wonderful thing. We're trying to make it obvious for you. It's wonderful. He's risen. Empty, empty, empty for an empty, empty tomb for a full heart. Wow, that's what you do. Now here they are, and the Lord's going to the cross, and they're weeping and doing. Why are you weeping? Verse 28, turning unto them, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Why? Because you don't understand. I have to go to the cross and die. I have to do it. It's a wonderful thing. It's God's plan, God's will. It's an awesome event to bear your sins in my own body on the tree, he said. But it has to be. You want to be excited. But they weren't. That's why when they went to the tomb, they had no idea he could rise. It just couldn't dawn on them that such was possible. Therefore, sliding down, verse 29, and behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that have never bare, and the paps which never have sunk. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green day tree, in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? In other words, you're doing this to me, and you don't understand. It's a wonderful thing. Titus is coming in 70 AD to level the city. Do you understand? You guys are in horrible trouble because you're crucifying me. And you're going to face Titus, who's going to level the city. Don't you understand? You ought to weep for yourselves. What are you weeping for me for? You ought to be glad. I'm going to the cross to take your place. Over to Luke 19. And in Luke 19, our Lord, the week of his crucifixion, the week we had the trials and the crucifixion. Luke chapter 19. If I can. Picking up, please. Verse 39. Some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. Because they were all shouting, peace and peace in heaven for the highest. Verse 40. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. If they don't yell when I'm coming into the city, and you don't honor me, palm trees and do it, you're going to crucify me. The very people that are, yay, are going to crucify me. But do it. If you don't do it, the stones will cry out. And that's true. You know all this stuff, history, all these things. The stones, how much history can be recorded in some object that if we could ever tap the object to get the history. Now, so in the process, verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. There's the same verb, intensive. He wept with grief. He wept with grief over the city. That's what he did. And if you were the disciples, you're standing right there, and he's torn apart, looking at the city. Verse 12, saying, If thou hast known these things, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things that which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round about, surround thee, and keep thee in every side, surround, no escape. They shall lay thee up, even upon the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of your salvation. You should have celebrated when I went to the cross. Hard as it would have been, our Lord celebrated, didn't he? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. He counted it all joy when he went to the cross. He told them in the upper room, you ought to be rejoicing, I'm going to my Father. We don't see it. Why? Because we don't understand. God has such an awesome plan for your life and mine, like we shared on Wednesday in that. God has an awesome plan. And that's what he's looking at. When he looks at you, he sees his plan. You and I look in the mirror and see ourselves. God sees you in what he is going to do with you, making you like his son in Christ Jesus. That's how God sees you right now. And if you aren't saved, God wants to see you saved. And if you are saved, that's how God sees you. And you ought to be excited about that. You aren't excited about getting older, are you? And you look in the mirror, your pictures, you know, they're getting older. And you'll never look the same again. You might as well throw away when you were 20 because you'll never look like that again. Wow. We forget. God is something wonderful. Martha, Mary, and Martha. You girls, don't hang on to me. Don't hang on to me. Don't hang on to Lazarus. Remember John 11. And he wept. And he wept. That's the shortest verse in the Bible. He wept. He didn't weep because Lazarus was dead. He said Lazarus had to die to glorify himself, to make the occasion for him to rise up, to have a resuscitation, to do it in a most wonderful way. And he wept. And you remember when we did all that? He felt so bad. In that context, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, Martha, here you are. Do you believe that you'll never die? And they didn't catch it. They didn't catch it. And the disciples didn't catch it. And it will take Pentecost to make a difference. But boy, the evidence of God being who he is, wonderfully who he is, all that he is here and now in his presence, that's something else. And the empty tomb says, you better pay attention. Wow. I hope you got a little bit. Mary's a wonderful example of commitment to a dream, to a wish, to a plan in your life, and not God's plan. And it's all going to come out dead, a dead plan, isn't it? Plan all you want. And when you're all done, you bring nothing in and take nothing out. So what did you end up with? I have a big plan. Wow, I got a greenhouse, full of flowers. Yay, good. You got a lot of flowers they can bring to your tomb. What are you going to do? Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness. God, help us. Mary had to wake up. And God, you were very patient with her, and you did a wonderful way to help her understand. There was no body. There's no body. No one said, he's risen. There's no guards. There's no Peter and they're all gone. And you have to stand there and face the reality. What? Pay attention not to your dream and your aspiration and what you're hoping. Look at the tomb again. He's risen so that you and I, even our Father, as you said, we can have eternal life in your Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. God, thanks a lot. In Christ's name, amen.